Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. We begin in Greece, where there's a highly stylized political dance taking place in Athens, and it appears it will be the last dance for Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou. Papandreou and Greece's main opposition leaders have agreed on plans to form a new unity government, and then Papandreou says he will resign. The agreement appears to have broken a deadlock and cleared the way for the government, now led by the opposition, to implement that debt rescue plan before dissolving and holding early elections. Joining us now from Athens is New York Times Rome Bureau Chief Rachel Donadio. Thanks for joining us, Rachel, once again.
My pleasure, John.
Can you explain the details of this complicated transition, which voters eventually will get a piece of, but not for a while?
Yeah, actually, in fact, the opposition is not in charge. What really happened is this. George Papandreou's Socialist Party has been governing Greece since 2009, but in recent weeks, it's been increasingly difficult for that government alone to pass more tough austerity measures. People are very upset with the government. The European Union has been calling on Papandreou to create broader consensus. That has been difficult to do because the center-right opposition has been resistant to many of the austerity packages, saying that they're hurting regular Greeks. Now, the opposition has been able to score political points by saying we're opposed to these measures, but without having to pay the political cost, knowing that the socialists would have to pass them. Okay, that brings us to a few days ago. After a completely chaotic roller coaster week, finally Papandreou agreed to step down to meet the conditions of the opposition, which said they'll forge a unity government with him on the condition he stepped down. And the opposition also made a concession. It agreed to support this new debt deal reached with the European Union,
right,
which would give Greece more money in exchange for more austerity measures. So later today, we're expecting the announcement of a new prime minister who would govern this unity government, the government formed with the center-right opposition and the currently governing socialists. The idea is that a somehow non-political figure would guide the country for about 3 months to help create the consensus needed to pass through these tough austerity measures. And then there would be early elections, probably February 19th.
So, Rachel Donadio, it's kind of a deal where some short-term local political favors were called in, and in return for that, there's going to be a broader appearance of consensus on the wider Eurozone bailout deal, right?
That's correct, but there's a lot at stake here. I mean, what's so fascinating in this crisis is that local Greek politics as usual is no longer local because in many ways the future of the euro and the fate of the world economy now hangs on what some local, not local, but some Greek politicians are doing. So this is also a really fascinating story because I think it just shows that markets trump democracy now. I mean, obviously markets speak louder than some politicians, but because Greece is in such a deep hole. Its debts are so high. Until the European Union can manage to put together a really credible bailout mechanism or a huge reserve of funds to convince markets that actually they can't just keep going after the weak links in the euro because there's some firepower behind it, until that happens, the European Union wants Greece to have a government that can pass through measures that can give the appearance of, you know, of real credibility and of that Greece is actually confronting its serious problems.
Rachel Donadio, Rome Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, on the line from Athens Airport, where you're actually headed back to Rome. And you mentioned a moment ago, Rachel, that markets trump democracy, but voters do get a hand to play here, whether we're talking about the early elections in Greece, which could radically reshape this government, which so far claims it's going to go along with the Eurozone bailout. But we've also got voters over in Italy that are itching to express some of their views.
Well, let's back up for a minute. The voters in Greece are not going to have their say until the spring or until the later in the winter. For now, there'll be this unity government, which the idea was that Papandreou passed a confidence vote Friday so that the country would not go to immediate elections, which would be chaotic because there'd be no clear winner.
Understood.
Now, what's happening in Italy right now is that Greece is becoming kind of a sideshow. The real problem is Italy, whose economy is just too big to fail. Italy's today, its borrowing rates have already gone to record highs since it introduced the euro. If it costs so much for Italy to borrow money, it's going to turn into, you know, it's going to have a liquidity crisis and then a solvency crisis. And if Italy is at risk of default, then God help the European Union because the economy is just too big to deal with. So there is tons of pressure now on Silvio Berlusconi to resign. I mean, the guy will not leave of his own free will. But the fact is that there's a perception that the Italian government is no longer credible. And as in Greece, what the European Union wants is for Berlusconi to step down, to have some technocratic government take over again and take the measures necessary to put the Italian economy back on track and help save the euro. Everything is tremendously interconnected, but, you know, it's going to be a really, really roller coaster ride here in southern Europe for the next few days.
And really, you know, this entire crisis calls into question this assumption that the eurozone can proceed as though economics and politics are two very, very different things. I want to use the example of some voices we heard from the streets of Athens over the last 18, 24 hours. And I just wonder where these voices are in the whole firmament here, other than just angry people talking into microphones. Listen.
The Greek people think that they can have everything, you know. They can have the new iPhone, the new car, the new house. They can have everything just by taking the money from the bank, you know, by having loans. And they don't realize that they can't have this because they cannot afford it.
That's a Greek student speaking to our partner, the BBC, and listen to this voice as well.
We don't know what will be happen the next day, the next hour. It is the first time during my life that I saw many people who look for something to eat from the dustbins.
Rachel Donadio, are those voices likely to multiply outside of Greece? Maybe hear those sentiments in Italy as well?
Yes. I mean, I think in Greece there's a sense that the economy gets worse and worse and worse, that even these bailout plans are longer term and aren't helping relieve the austerity in the short term. I think that, you know, in Greece the situation is much more dramatic and dire. People have seen their salaries cut. They've seen their taxes go up. And, you know, it's really an economy that's decimated and pushed to the breaking point. In Italy, the reality hasn't really hit yet. The rubber has not hit the road yet, but it may be hitting because now that the IMF says it's monitoring Italy's economy, a very rare thing for it to do for an economy that large.
Right.
It means that the pressure is on Italy, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. But there's a general sense in Greece that Greeks don't feel like they're in control of their country's own destiny anymore. They honestly feel like a protectorate of the EU and of Germany in particular.
Rachel Donadio, Rome bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. So let's put the question directly to a member of the coalition in Berlusconi's Italy. For more now, we're joined by Margherita Boniver, one of the leading MPs in Berlusconi's Forza Italia party. Madam MP, if the Eurozone wants Berlusconi to go, if the banks want Berlusconi to go with the interest rate they are charging Italy for borrowing, why doesn't he step down?
Well, because he has said that until he can get a sufficient number of votes in Parliament, he will stay on. Now, of course, the question is, will he be able to get the sufficient number of votes? Because there are a lot of people in the majority coalition who have a lot of doubts, and therefore in these hours, which divide us from a crucial vote on the public financial accounts of the state, which will be voted on tomorrow, the big question mark is obviously hovering over our heads. If you want to know my opinion, is that Berlusconi will probably get a sufficient number of votes tomorrow, but he might sort of decide in any case that he would submit his resignation. He has denied this strongly until this point, but everybody is wondering whether he can keep this stance. Of course, it is not easy to govern, but one vote would be sufficient to do that. We will have to see what happens in Parliament, in the lower chamber, tomorrow afternoon.
We're talking with Margherita Boniver, as one of the leading members of Parliament in Silvio Berlusconi's Forza Italia party. I guess, Ms. Boniver, one would have to ask the question, is the party itself, Forza Italia, threatened if Berlusconi stays on? Even with a victory today or tomorrow, it could spell doom for the entire movement that Berlusconi brought to power.
Of course, I mean, but this is obviously something you have to take into account. Mr. Berlusconi has been governing Italy for the past 16 to 17 years, and what his critics are most adamant about is that he has not been able to deliver enough of the reforms that our coalition had promised our electorate. And therefore, we will have to see whether, A, he can still govern in the next year and a half until the end of the legislature, and B, whether we can deliver the reforms which are necessary for Italian society and the economy. What is for sure, the only thing is for sure, is that even in the case of Mr. Berlusconi's resignation, our system would provide for a caretaker government, and that caretaker government would obviously honor its implications with the European Union.
Right, sounding very much like the scenario that's unfolding right now in Greece. That's Margherita Bon Iver, Italian MP for the party of Silvio Berlusconi. He has denied that he plans to resign. That's been put on his Facebook page. But Ms. Bon Iver there describing a possible scenario where a victory in Parliament would then result in a voluntary resignation further on. But again, nothing confirmed. Thank you so much, Ms. Bon Iver.
Thank you.